I spoke yesterday when Rav Friedman was here that Yaakov is the epitome of a work ethic. And Rav Lichtenstein, when he talked to us about work ethic, would always quote that Rambam, Achalani Charavayam Makarach Balayla, he was boiling in the day and he was freezing at night and he took responsibility. And there's a lot to talk about being someone of responsibility, of duty, of Rosh Gadol, as we say in Hebrew. It's really ABCs of character. ABCs of character is not waiting for other people to do things, volunteering, taking responsibility. Old saying, ask, you want something done, ask a busy person, which is counterintuitive. If they're busy, then they don't have time. But if they're busy, it just shows that they like fulfilling tasks and they'll find more time. And always to try to avoid excusing yourself from opportunity because you're busy. It's very easy. You're going to get very busy in life and I don't have time for this, I don't have time for this. But people make time for important tasks, and then at a certain point, you have to make sure that you don't overextend yourself. Obviously, there are other people in this world who need you more, your family and yourself, your own sanity and peace of mind. So again, that's that balance between not excusing yourself. But there's something else about Yaakov that I wanted to talk about, and that's because I'll pick up the Emes Yaakov, and certainly in the context of living with Lavan and changing the Maskuti Elefamim, and of course, Yaakov's past with Esav and his evolution into the Isha Emes and the way he behaved for those 20 plus years in the house of Lavan. And I'm very, very fearful that one of the challenges, not the obvious challenges, the obvious challenges your generation's facing, I don't have to tell you, Facebook and pornography, and, but sometimes you get so caught up with the obvious that you ignore the subtle. And almost as if there's a creeping dangers that advance under the cover of the obvious dangers. Almost as if, cover me. I'm going to raid the building, cover me. So dangers have that sense of being covered by other, oh, these are the dangers we obsess with, and then there are more subtle dangers that slip in. And it's about living in a world of, ironically, a world in which it's hard to know and to discern honest, accurate information from false information. It's ironic because it's really the bastard child of democracy. Not just the internet, but it's just democracy centrally decentralizes truth. In the world of absolutism, there's an absolute ruler, and there's an absolute chain of command, and there's an absolute caste system, and there's an absolute chain of being, and you know where you are, and you're born into this stage, and you can't change your reality, and you're either a serf or a prince, or you either have the bloodlines, you don't have the bloodlines, and you make peace with your world, and the world is very, very rigid and fixed and oppressive and dangerous. But it's also very clear. There are absolute fixed norths. And we live in a world of collaboration and of joint efforts. And it's, I've told you before that the one of the bastard children of democracy is moral relativism. If everyone's equal in the ballot box, then everyone's equal in the moral conversation. If everyone has the same vote, then everyone has the same opinion. And so what if you're a homicidal maniac and you murder thousands of people? But what's your perspective? Where did you get this? How do you see the world? And nothing is perfect. Nothing is, everything carries a price. And one of the prices we're paying is we don't have a sense of absolute truth as we once had. What is truth? We live in a world of subjectivism and existentialism. What's your truth and what's my truth? Which I think is healthy in many respects. But it slides very, very quickly into a world in which the boundaries between truth and falsehood are very, very quickly blurred. Very quickly blurred. And I think the dangers are threefold. In order of importance. Number one, and I can't say this strongly enough. One of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. And if your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on following his midos, and you're not an ish emes, you're simply not close to the bonus. You could be Rachum, Chanan, Erech Apayim, and no shas by heart. But if you're not an Isha Emes, then you're not in the presence of their bonus. And there's so many psukim in Tanakh, I can't even begin to quote them. Tesvav. Miagur be'alecha mishkom b'chatzar k'vodecha holich tamim u'fol tzedek v'dover emes bilvavo. To be holich tamim, you have to be a tamim. Poel tzedek, justice, staka, v'dover emes bilvavo. And you have to be someone that's honest. And if not, so the sense of trying to be honest and speak honestly, not in an exaggerated fashion, speak honestly to yourself, learn what It's fundamental to your relationship with Kutcher Baruch Hu. That's part of the interface. If you're not in Ish Emes, again, it can't. Your interface with the Baruch Hu isn't just how well you follow Shulchan Aruch. It has to start with there, but your midos and how much you're like a Kutcher Baruch Hu. And if you're encased in a world of dishonesty, and the second danger is, in order of importance, is you grow in life when you're honest with yourself. We talked about this a lot in Elul. It's really hard to break through the narratives you script for yourself. And we all do it. We all tell stories to ourselves that are easier to digest and easier to swallow. We justify our failures. We create standards based on our achievements rather than absolute standards because it's too hard to face the fact that we may not have achieved those standards. So we lower the bar, we move the goalposts so that we feel like we scored. And to a degree, you have to do it. But to a degree, it can really, really blunt personal growth. One of the terms from Rav Aaron's Hesped, that Tova Lichtenstein told me during the Shiva, that really sticks in my mind, is Lo Natan Le'atzmo Hanachot. He didn't, which literally translates, he didn't give himself discounts. But it can mean he didn't give himself discounts when there's something to do, but also psychologically, you didn't excuse yourself and justify yourself. You pushed yourself and you were honest with yourself and where am I failing and how can I do better and who can I become and am I that person and I'm not interested in glory and honor but interested in real change and persona. And there was an American educator called Eric Hoffer, wrote a lot about education. You may have heard of him. He had a line that stuck with me when I read it. We lie loudest when we lie to ourselves. Interesting phrase. We lie loudest when we lie to ourselves. That's the worst type of... That's why lying is contagious. That's why Beis Shammai, the purist and the idealist, said, I can't allow this man at the wedding to say something complimentary to this woman because the ramifications are too severe. Midvar sheker tirchak. It starts with a white lie, and then another white lie, and then another white lie, and at some point you lose your passport, and you find yourself in a completely different territory of lies, and it's a very, very slippery slope. So we don't pass like Meshame, because we live in a world of others, and we have to take other people's needs into consideration, their emotions. And of course, the third issue is interpersonally. I mean, if you don't have healthy and honest communication in life, I wish you well. Start investing... Start socking away some money for the therapy you'll need, because you'll need it. That's really what relationships are built upon, being honest, especially when they're not just casual relationships, Rebbe Talmud, Chavrusa, and a lab partner, but, I mean, real husband and wife, and siblings, and children, and people you get close to. You have to really be honest and let them know what's on your heart, and not say things that are deceitful, and not lie to them, and not, or even shade the truth, And that's what has me worried a little bit in our world, that it's just because of the proliferation of information and the difficulty and just people just are completely disinterested. Everyone's agenda-driven and statements that have no bearing for the truth. There used to be some code and there's some compass and you feel like it veered a little bit from truth. In this world, it's almost as if what people are saying bears absolutely no resemblance to the truth. It's just people just saying for effect and... There's no shame in lying. I mean, you can support Trump's policies, and you can even support his values, pro-life or whatever. These, I think, are legitimate conversations. But less mandapolik, but in midos-wise, he's a monster. When it comes to terms of pure midos, learn to differentiate between three levels. His meisim, you could say his meisim are fantastic. And I think that's a very healthy conversation. You shouldn't balk at that conversation. And you could also say maybe he has values that we subscribe to in terms of what he feels about this issue, that issue. In terms of midos, in terms of the way you speak and just complete disregard for truth. Just say things that are patently false just for effect. Just throw out numbers, just who cares? And it's a slow corrosive effect. It's not, I'm just picking him because he's a very visible person. But it's the world we live in and the statements that people are making and the lives of people leading that are completely divorced from reality, all the fake lives, and this one's discovered to be an abuser, and this one's discovered to be... So the challenge is really work at yourself. Really work at yourself with your friends, with your persona. Try to be an Ish Emes. Try to have that sense of what's true, what's not true. I promise you. It's a gift of life. I've lived a long enough life to see people innocently just live false realities and present false realities to others. And they have to keep up those false impressions. And it just takes a toll. And you're living multiple lives. Not in vast way that you're a teacher and you end up being a chainsaw murderer. I'm not talking about crazy cases. Don't worry, I don't have a chainsaw. I wanted to get one once, but I'm talking about even slight differentials where you have to be one person at home and another person. it's just such a heavy weight, and you don't need that weight in life to carry it on your shoulders. And I'm sure you're going through that also. You're finding identity, and you want to look good in front of your friends, and you want to be impressive. And again, it's not something you can just snap your finger. I'm not telling you, oh my goodness, a vegetarian said I have to live authentic lives, and I can't have two different faces. Oh my goodness, that's where you are right now. You want to appear in a certain way in the base manager. You want to appear a certain way in the rabbi. So just be involved in the process. Don't, it's not going to happen by taking a pill or by hearing a shmooze or a sikha. It means setting your life towards that and catching yourself when you fall into those charades and you try to be different people at different stages. That can be very, very burdensome. It's a good thing about Yaakov's MS and how he treats himself amongst a world of shepherds. Shabbat Shalom. Where's everyone going for Shabbos? Let me know. No lies. Okay? Don't tell me.